Hello and welcome. I am so glad you are here. Before we dive into anything today, I want to say something directly to you. You showing up for your health, whether that means listening to a podcast on your morning walk, swapping one ingredient at dinner, or simply paying a little more attention to how your body feels, that is not a small thing. That is self-advocacy, and it matters more than you might realize. Your health is not something that happens to you. It is something you participate in every single day with the choices available to you right now. You do not need to be perfect. You do not need a complete overhaul. You just need to stay curious, stay engaged, and know that even the smallest, most consistent changes can build something meaningful over time. So take a breath, settle in. Today's update is warm, it's grounded, and it's for you. Let's start with something that might sound simple but runs surprisingly deep. The idea that what you eat shapes how well your body can protect, repair, and restore itself. This is not a new idea at all. In fact, it goes back more than 2,500 years to Hippocrates, the ancient Greek physician who is often called the father of medicine, who believed that food was medicine long before we had any of our modern science to explain why. And here's what's fascinating. Some of the most important conversations happening in health research right now are circling right back to that ancient wisdom. A physician who works across hospitals in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Australia has been speaking out about something he finds deeply troubling. At the very moment when patients need nutrition most, during illness, after surgery, in the thick of recovery, the meals being served are often built around processed ingredients, added sugars, and fast-digesting foods that may actually work against the healing process. He describes seeing diabetic patients served white bread, muffins, and orange juice for breakfast. Think about that. Those are high sugar foods that cause rapid blood sugar spikes, and this is happening in people whose bodies are already struggling with serious complications. The reason this matters comes down to something happening inside every single one of your cells. Picture tiny power generators living inside each cell. That's essentially what mitochondria are. They take in nutrients and convert them into energy. And when your body is fighting infection, recovering from an injury, or managing a chronic condition, those little generators are working overtime. What you feed them directly affects how well they can do their job. As this physician put it simply and memorably, junk in, junk out. Now, you might be wondering, does this only apply to people who are sick? Absolutely not. And this is where the story of NBA star Chris Paul becomes really relatable. After dealing with recurring hamstring injuries in 2018 and 2019, Chris made the decision to shift to a plant-based diet. Within days, not weeks, days, he noticed visible changes in how his body felt and functioned. His doctor, Dr. Mark Hyman, explained that the typical American diet is heavily inflammatory. Think of inflammation like a slow internal fire that, when it burns too long, contributes to fatigue, brain fog, slow recovery, and over time to conditions like diabetes and heart disease. Building on that, and this part is really encouraging, Chris's father didn't do anything dramatic. He simply reduced sugary juices and drank more water. That's it. And at his very next checkup, his doctor noticed measurable improvements in his vitals. The takeaway here is not that you need to transform your entire diet overnight. It's that consistent, thoughtful adjustments, even really small ones, can have real, measurable effects. Now, let's talk about your brain, because what you eat affects it in ways that are more specific than most of us realize. Dr. Wusong Liu is a neuroscientist with more than 25 years of experience at MIT Center for Learning and Memory, and he's been researching something that surprised even him. Most magnesium supplements, and magnesium is widely known to support relaxation, sleep, and stress management, never actually reach the brain. Here's why. Your brain is protected by what scientists call the blood-brain barrier. Picture it like a very selective security checkpoint. It lets in what the brain needs and keeps out what it doesn't. And it turns out most common forms of magnesium simply cannot get through that checkpoint. Dr. Liu's team discovered that by pairing magnesium with a specific molecule, a natural byproduct of vitamin C metabolism called L-threonate, they created a new form called magnesium L-threonate that could actually cross that barrier and raise magnesium levels inside the brain itself. His published clinical research, beginning in 2012 and published in 2015, found that this form supported cognitive function in people experiencing mild cognitive impairment. Participants showed improvements in focus, working memory, that's the mental workspace you use to hold and process information, and a reduction in what he called mental rumination, the exhausting loop of repetitive thoughts. Magnesium plays a central role in what scientists call synaptic plasticity. In everyday terms, think of this as your brain's ability to strengthen and rewire its connections, which is the very foundation of learning, memory, and adapting to new experiences. Dr. Liu noted that mood and stress benefits may appear within as little as 3 days of consistent use, while the deeper cognitive benefits tend to build over 6 weeks and peak around 3 months. If magnesium is something you already use or are curious about, it is absolutely worth a conversation with your healthcare provider about which form might be most appropriate for your specific goals. Let's shift now to your immune system and a perspective that might change the way you think about chronic illness. Dr. Aristo Voidani, an immunologist who has spent decades studying autoimmune conditions, shared a concept called molecular mimicry. Here's how to picture it. Some viruses and bacteria are, in a sense, wearing disguises. They evolve to look structurally similar to your own body's proteins. So when your immune system launches an attack on the invader, it can accidentally also attack your own healthy tissue because it genuinely cannot tell the difference.
Dr. Voidani and his colleagues have identified three viruses in particular, including the virus behind COVID-19, the Epstein-Barr virus, which most of us have been exposed to, and a virus called human herpes virus 6, as significant players in this process, with connections to thyroid conditions, neurological conditions, and long COVID. What makes this especially worth knowing is that measurable warning signals in the immune system can appear 3 to 18 years before a full autoimmune diagnosis. That is a genuine window, a real opportunity for early attention and support. Building on that, Dr. Voidani also spoke about environmental factors that are easy to overlook. Chemicals called PFAS, found in certain nonstick cookware, food packaging, and some water supplies, and tiny plastic particles called nanoplastics from everyday plastic bottles, can actually bind to your body's proteins and create structures your immune system doesn't recognize as belonging to you. That confusion can trigger an immune response. He shared early data suggesting that more than half of individuals he tested showed immune reactivity to plastic nanoparticles, a signal he considers significant and is actively working to publish. Two of his simplest practical recommendations: switch from plastic water bottles to glass or stainless steel, and be mindful of Teflon cookware, small, manageable changes that may quietly support your immune system over time. And finally, let's talk about something that feeds your well-being in a way that no supplement can fully replicate: genuine human connection. Author and social scientist Arthur Brooks made a point that I find both fascinating and a little sobering. The human brain has been in essentially its current form for approximately 250,000 years, shaped by life in small, in-person communities where face-to-face relationship was everything. When the brain is repeatedly exposed to the intense stimulation of social media, the likes, the comments, the constant digital feedback, it can actually recalibrate its reward system upward. And when that happens, ordinary everyday pleasures begin to feel flat or unrewarding. This state has a name: anhedonia. It's a recognized neurological and psychological condition, and it's becoming increasingly common. What Arthur Brooks found when he looked at the young people who seemed genuinely happy and grounded was striking in its simplicity. They were not strongly attached to their devices. Investing intentionally in real-world connection, face-to-face time, shared experiences, community, engages the neurological systems your brain depends on for genuine meaning. Even a short phone-free conversation with someone you care about is nourishment for your nervous system in a way that a scroll through your feed simply cannot be. So, with all of that in mind, here is your one simple, cost-free wellness step for today. Step outside or reach out to someone in person. It doesn't need to be long, it doesn't need to be planned. A 10-minute walk without your phone. A real conversation with a neighbor, a friend, a family member. Let your brain experience the world it was actually built for. And please remember, everything shared today is for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for personalized medical advice. Before making changes to your diet, supplements, or routine, especially if you are managing a chronic condition or taking medications, please speak with your own healthcare provider. Your situation is unique, and you deserve guidance that reflects that. Thank you so much for spending this time with me today. Your curiosity, your commitment, your willingness to show up for yourself, that is everything. You've got this. Take care of yourself.